See it? Court's ready to proceed in case of Dr. Guillermo Salinas, Dr. Jeff Alatad, Mrs. Dr. Estee Patty, and Juan Zena, the parties.
May it please the court, Mr. Larry Macon will present argument for petitioners. Petitioners have reserved 5 minutes for rebuttal.
Thank you. May it please the court. The fact that this is a no, that there was no evidence to support the award of $1.4 million for the plaintiff's one-third interest in a medical practice is supported by two basic theses. First, under 38.1 of the Partnership Code, the income method is improper to value the property of a dissolved professional partnership. Secondly, and one that's very clear, is that the award of the additional $1.3 million above what even the plaintiff's own expert had said was simply not supported by the evidence. But let me come to the more general proposition. As the court's aware, where there is a dissolved partnership, 38.1 of the Uniform Partnership Act says that what you do is you take the partnership property, and that's the key word, property, and you first apply it to the partnership liability. And then any surplus shall be distributed in cash to the partners. Very important words. And it's particularly important in the event of a professional partnership. Because as this court has recognized in Mail versus Mail and in other cases, it's rare to have any sort of goodwill in a professional partnership. The Illinois and the New York courts have specifically taken this provision of the Texas Partnership, of the Uniform Partnership Act, and said, where you're dealing with a professional partnership, there is no goodwill to be divided. Now, why is that? Well, as lawyers, we understand that when a partnership dissolves, there seldom is anything that goes forward. Same thing is true with doctors.
If you were to leave Akin and Gump, would that be, there's certainly some value in the goodwill of Akin and Gump that is yours upon dissolution of the partnership, is there not? Or unless it's subject to some other written agreement?
Let's put the written agreement aside. I do not believe that I have any right to any part of goodwill that they can come. His goodwill is mine. It is with me. Akin Gump, although, you know, the larger the entity, the more incremental it becomes, but I assume that Akin Gump, the Akin Gump that exists today is a partnership that includes my goodwill. When I leave, if I had a great ego, I would say that when I leave, Akin Gump will be less than mine.
Well, let me, if we can direct, maybe, and I didn't, if we can direct to the facts of this case,
yes.
if you could clarify for me, my understanding is from reading the briefs that Dr. Salinas and Dr. Salazar continued on with the Radiology Associates.
Is
that correct or not?
That is totally incorrect. Number one, they did not continue using the name. Both entities, Salinas and Salazar, used a totally new name, which they call Associates in Diagnostic Radiology. Dr. Rafati used a separate name. No one continued to use the name.
Did they retain the contract with Mercy Hospital?
The contract with Mercy Hospital was retained by Dr. Salinas. It had been in his name since 1984. It continued in his name. It never was in the name of partnership, and there was no jury finding of any kind that this was a partnership asset. So to come to both of your points, further, This is a strange, the facts of these are strange in that nobody moved out of the office. Each of them, there were three offices that they had in the hospital. They didn't change. There wasn't a name on the door that said Radiology Associates. There was no goodwill associated. The name went away and disappeared. The location didn't change for anybody. So if you go back to Mail versus Mail, it talks about two elements of goodwill and professional partnership. Name and location. Name, unlike Akin Gump, Radiology Associates went away. So there's no good will there. Location. Each of the doctors showed up at work the day after the dissolution, totally unaffected.
How can Dr. Fadi be not affected when Dr. Salinas is head of the health department of the hospital? You can determine, you know, who gets the business and who does not. Apparently, the jury thought that Dr. Fadi was very much aggrieved by this new arrangement.
Just because, let me say that. Number one, there is no evidence that Dr. Salinas had any control over what radiology was. As a matter of fact, the evidence was that it is the patient's doctor who makes that decision.
Didn't he have the contract, though, with the hospital?
He had a contract.
So why, because he had that contract, how does that jive with your last statement? In other words, it seems like he had the contract for Mercy Hospital to provide radiology services. He very much had a say in who got the radiology business.
He had no right to veto any doctor. If a treating physician said, I'm going to use Dr. Lafayette, the evidence was from the director of Mercy Hospital that if any doctor said, I'm going to use Dr. Lafayette for my, do my radiology. He had the absolute right. He had privileges, and he had no control, and Dr. Salinas had no control and no veto power of any kind. Further, it was only a six-month, termination provision, and there was no testimony of any kind as to the value of that contract. But to back you up, the contract that was testimony was primarily for administrative duties, and you can look at it and you can see that at no point did Dr. Rafati have the right to say, no, I mean, I'm sorry, did Dr. Salinas have the right to say, no, we do not want Dr. Rafati to do anything. He had no control over
it. Was there any evidence that he did?
No. There is no. The evidence is that Dr. Salinas, even though he continued as medical director, did not stop any business from Dr. Rafati. There was evidence that there was not one patient whose doctor said, I won't use Dr. Rafati. There was not one who was refused in any way. Dr. Rafati continued with his office in Mercy Hospital until he voluntarily left much later after the trial. And he continued to service patients in Mercy Hospital with no change whatsoever.
You say that the income stream, income-based model for evaluation is inappropriate for dissolved partnerships.
Dissolved professional partnerships.
Dissolved
sure.
Professional partnerships. But what other method of calculation might be used? Here again, to get back perhaps to a circumstance where you're a partner with Vincent Elkin for 20 years. Rather than picking on your firm. But if you've been with that firm for 20 years and then you are essentially kicked out of the partnership, and it continues on and all the clients stay with Vincent Elkins, why isn't the income stream method appropriate under those circumstances?
Well, of course, as we know, this is a different situation in that the name was not used, but let's come back to that. There is a thought, there is a belief that the Vincent Elkins that existed with Lawyer X is a different Vincent Elkins and with less goodwill than is used without Dr. X. Okay, what is the appropriate method? Well, it's to use exactly what the partnership acts as. Use the property, not the fair market value, not the value some expert says, but to use the property. It's the asset method. If you weigh what the assets are, at that point.
That, you would concede, wouldn't you, that doesn't really measure the loss of the excluded partner, because if they say you get this value in the fixed assets of the partnership, you may be denied basically an income if the clients you used to have stay with your old law firm and you have no clients. You may have some typewriters and computers and copiers, but does that actually measure the loss of an excluded partner?
Well, the answer is yes, I believe it is, because let's talk about two separate things. One, it was clear that Dr. Rafati got his share of all profits that occurred while he was there, so he was not excluded from any part of the cash that came into that day. Secondly, as this court has said in Nail versus Nail and in many cases since then, that there are some portions of goodwill that are personal, that are not part of the ongoing, and I guess perhaps the biggest flaw in the income-based method is how can it be an ongoing entity? The fact, number one, we know in this case they didn't use the same name, but let's suppose that the Chicago Bulls were a five-person partnership, and Michael Jordan decides that he's going to retire. And he said, well, hey, we made $20 million last year, and we had 70 wins this year, so I want my...
69 so
far. I'm sorry. I'm an error.
Tonight is the 57.
And he says, I want my partnership share based upon 69 or 70 wins. That's not right. Well, of course it's not, because it is not the same entity without Michael Jordan as it is with Michael Jordan. The partnership, even if it's gone by the same name as Radiology Associates, is not the same entity without Dr. Rafati as it is with.
But you are, in response to these questions, you are assuming that there was a wrongful expulsion. Isn't there a difference in expulsion from a partnership as opposed to dissolution of the partnership entirely?
You are 100% right, and that was the point. In my mind, just to digress for a second, that's the problem in this case, is that the trial court allowed initially for it to be tried as a wrongful expulsion case, and the fourth court saw that that was wrong. This 38.1 deals with dissolution pursuant to the agreement, and you're 100% right.
Excuse me, just to digress for a moment, and I wish you'd answer your question, but this allusion to court agreement, there was no provision in the agreement for this type of determination.
But you're exactly right. But it's not, you're 100% right, Justice Gonzales, I was in error. The distinction is whether or not it's wrongful or whether or not it is not inconsistent with the agreement, I suppose is the way. And this was not wrongful, and the fourth court held that it was not wrong, that there was nothing wrongful about it. And so going, just on your right, going back to Justice Cornyn's advice, that's the best response is, hey, he wasn't thrown out. The law provides that if there is no provision for dissolution, then what happens is that any one of the partners may, by their express will, say, we're calling it quits, and that's not wrongful expulsion.
What happens when one partner says, gets together with the other partner and says, hey, we're going to kick out X here, and you know, any one of us have an absolute right to dissolve the partnership by saying it no longer exists. Shouldn't there be some remedy to two partners ganging up on a third partner and dissolving the partnership and saying he can take your X-ray machine and your typewriter with you, but that's all you get?
No, there shouldn't be. A partnership is a voluntary association. And if there is going to be protection, if there's going to be some way where a partner is going to get something pursuant to a voluntary dissolution of it, it should be written into the original agreement. If it's not written, then 38.1 provides that all you do is you divide up the existing property. You don't value it, you don't look at the income, you divide up the existing property, and that is what we're talking about.
Mr. Bacon, is it a correct statement that there was one CPA that was the expert for the doctor, and he valued the partnership without attributing any value to the goodwill attached to the person of each individual partner? Is that correct?
That's correct.
And then is it correct that in the record, his expert testimony was the only testimony that had a dollar figure on it?
That's not correct, Robert. There was also the testimony of another CPA, Mr. Plato, who said that if you take the hard assets pursuant to the partnership code, then the value of those assets are about $7,500. The one-third share is $2,500.
All right, so the record would support, at least on one hand, a low of $7,500, but the other expert testified that in his view the value was a range of $1,766,000 to $2,940,000.
That is correct. Based upon an income evaluation which assumes an ongoing business. And I think that's the biggest hole in that is this is not an ongoing business under any set of circumstances.
Any other questions?
Thank you.
please the court, Mr. Oscar J. Pena Sr. will present argument for respondents.
What my client was told was something to the fact that, look, here's the way with the solve partnerships. You go, we stay, we continue operating, milking this business that you built up, and you don't get anything at all.
They did not continue to operate under the same name, is that correct?
They changed it slightly. It was Radiology Associates, and as I recall, they changed it to Associates in Radiology or something like that. But they kept the personnel. They kept, which by the way, they had very good personnel. They had about 10 employees in the office who were very knowledgeable in this business. They knew all about insurance forms and billing and typing out reports and things of that nature. They kept some of that. But most important, they kept the benefit of this relationship that had been built up with the hospital over 15 years, you see.
How many hospitals are there in Laredo?
There's two, a very small one that had maybe 10 or 15% of the business. And then there's Mercy Regional Medical Center, which services Laredo population, maybe about 220,000. Services Nuevo Laredo population, about 400,000. And services the surrounding areas. There were servicing, the hospital was servicing something like 600,000, 700,000 people. And most people who get sick have to go to that hospital, and therefore the source, the tremendous source of business from that hospital. Now, I'm saying that aside from the personal skill, knowledge, ability of the members, there was something there of great value. There was this organization which had highly trained personnel, not only in the office that they had outside there next to the hospital, but also in the hospital, there were highly skilled technicians in the hospital who, while they were employees of the hospital, were subject to direction by these partners. They would take the x-rays, they would perform all of the necessary work in the x-ray facilities and submit the findings to the doctors for their observations. And it was not anywhere like the nail versus nail situation where you had a sole practitioner, and once that sole practitioner was gone, and the evaluation was based upon his personal knowledge, skills, and so on, his ability to work in the future. That was not the type of situation at all.
What if Dr. Salinas and Dr. Salazar had decided that they wanted to move to Houston?
Well, as a matter of fact, when they said that they wanted to dissolve, my client said, well, you all go ahead, I will stay behind and continue the operation.
But wouldn't you have the same damage theory that you have in this case?
No, sir. They had pulled out. We would have been left with this organization in place that was so important, with this relationship, business relationship, that was so satisfactory both to the hospital, and to Radiology Associates.
But if it hadn't been as successful, if for some reason Dr. Rafati was not able to attract as much business as the partnership had before, you could get damages against Dr. Salinas and Dr. Salazar for leaving.
Well, see, I have to concede that the partnership agreement didn't say that, didn't have any term limit. They could expect terminated at will at any time. So they did, so they chose to pull out, they could do so. So I don't think that we could have sued them for that. But what they did was they took over the whole operation, continued making lots of money out of it, and we didn't get anything.
You're saying that the CA erred in holding there was no wrongful dissolution. You don't have a cross point of error report on that.
No, ma'am, we did not find a cross point. As you know, in the trial court, the jury found that there was wrongful dissolution.
The Court of Appeals turned that around, and you haven't.
Yes, they reversed that.
On your expert's testimony, the value of this partnership was $1.7 million to $2 million some odd dollars. How far out in the future was that income stream calculated?
Well, it was not based on that, as I understood it. It was based on value attributed to the organization itself that was in place, without which neither of these doctors could produce the income that they were producing.
You have to have some time period over which the income stream was generated. What was the time period?
That it was not a projection into the future. It was based upon what this was worth. It had commercial value. The inference from the evidence was that this structure that was in place could have been sold to any other three doctors that had wanted to buy it, and it would have paid for itself in 1 or 2 years. It was producing something that $1.8 million a year. So we say that it had commercial value. It could have been sold because the setup was extremely satisfactory to the hospital and to the association.
Mr. Payne, your answer to Justice Owen, as I understand it, your argument is that the organization in place with the trained people and the contracts and so forth is where the value came that the expert testified, the dollar figures. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
And so am I correct then that based on your theory, the expert's testimony was that this package, existing package, was worth between $1,766,000 and $2,940,000.
That is correct.
And that's the only range dollar figures that's in the record.
Yes, so of course we, there was more evidence than just the testimony from that expert. We had.
But is it correct that that expert was the one who valued the asset that you say was there that your client should have gotten one-third of?
That is correct.
And there may have been other evidence about other, but nobody put a dollar figure on it.
No, sir, you're right about that.
So anything above $2,940,000 had no value attached to it, whatever it was, under the record.
Right, sir. Nobody else came in and said this is worth so many dollars and cents.
So that you could, get any answer from the jury above $2,940,000 for the value.
It, the jury considered, we gave the entire history, including...
No, no. Listen to my question,
no precise, specifically, no.
So the top figure is $2,940,000.
Yes.
For whatever it was.
Yes.
Thank you.
And under the Court of Appeals judgment, you got more than a third of that value, did you not?
Yes, sir. The court figured...
I'm trying to figure out how that how those jive.
The court figured that the jury heard more testimony than just the expert testimony, and the jury concluded that it was more than what the expert said. And the other evidence consisted of the income tax reports and the description, the history of the business, how it had grown by leaps and bounds, how it was producing so much money, and how it was so very satisfactory to the hospital and to the partners.
How much of that value, the $2,940,000, was on the contract with the hospital?
Well, the whole business that we were getting from the hospital was based on that agreement with the hospital. And if I may say so, I don't agree that that contract belonged to Dr. Salinas. I don't think that's what the evidence shows. What the evidence shows is that, see, originally it was Dr. Rafferty, Respondent Rafferty, and Dr. Grace. They started this business. And the contract was taken from the hospital by Dr. Grace for the benefit of the partnership. Then they bring in Dr. Salinas, and shortly thereafter, Dr. Grace dies. And the hospital says, well, how should we write up the contract now? And Rafferty and Salinas says, well, put it under Salinas' name. But during the trial, I asked Dr. Salinas, I asked him, well, did you take it for yourself or did you take it for the partnership? And he said that he took it to share it with the partnership. Because if he had sat out the wife, if he had said, I was a partner, but I went up there and got this contract that the partnership had before, and I got it in for myself for my own benefit, then that would have been a gross violation of his fiduciary duty to his partner. He was supposed to be pulling for the partnership, not for himself. And what he said at the trial was that he got it to share it with the partnership. And that's, I can't give you a page number.
But wouldn't you agree that those issues are not on appeal to this court?
Right, sir. There was no question submitted to the jury in the trial board. No dispute, actually, as to that.
I understand, but those are not issues to be decided by this court because those causes of action are not before this court.
Yes, sir.
Let me ask you, on the valuation of the business, clarify this for me. I was under the impression that your expert said that the value of the 1.9 and the 2.9 was really 2 to 3 times the value of the assets of the business. Weren't those numbers calculated with a factor?
He said that there were a number of methods that he had used to arrive at a valuation, and that the income produced by the business was a significant factor in determining the value thereof. But he made it very clear that he had excluded professional goodwill attached to each of these three partners. See, when we tried this case, I was mindful of what this court said in,
Nail
versus Nail. And I knew that professional goodwill that attaches to an individual is not divisible, at least for divorce purposes. I knew that, and he was instructed to give us a value based strictly on the basis of the business entity itself. But now,
as you indicated earlier, if these three doctors had left, any three doctors could have come in, and if they could pick up the same business, would have made the same amount of money.
Yes, sir, but here's something of interest for the court, I hope, that even if all three had left, the partnership could have continued operating and producing money for the partnership because, you see, they also had two radiologists as employees on a salary basis that were working for the partnership and producing money. So even if all three of them had left, presumably the entity that was in place could have continued operating and making money for the partnership.
Did any of these employees have employment agreements for a set term of time?
I'm sorry, ma'am?
Did any of the employees, including the radiologists, they had employment contracts that committed them to work for a set period of time?
No, ma'am.
They were employees at will?
Yes, ma'am.
If the court were to disagree with you with regards to the professional goodwill, what would you be left with?
The entity that was in place that was so indispensable to make the money that they were making. See, once Rafferty was taken out of that, his income dropped from $425,000 a year to $200,000 a year. You couldn't make that great income without having this entity, this organization in place, this relationship with the hospital, this millions of dollars worth of equipment at the hospital, which the radiology associates have the use of, the technicians at the hospital. You couldn't do it without all of that, without the business entity itself, separate and apart from goodwill of the individual members.
Well, how do we justify what is the evidence to justify the jury verdict and the Court of Appeals judgment?
We gave a complete description, complete history of the business, that showed how it was growing, the amount that it was producing, how it was organized, how it worked, and we had the accountant come in and explain to the jury that there's different methods of valuing businesses, that he had valued businesses on many occasions for many purposes, and that he knew how to put a value on the business separate and apart from the individual goodwill of the members.
Well, you keep saying separate and apart from the individual and goodwill. This is the contract with the hospital was a 6-month term, is that correct?
Yes, ma'am, but it had been in place for 15 years.
What was to keep Dr. Rafati from bidding for that business or trying to get a similar contract with the hospital or any other doctor for that business?
They would not let go of it. Dr. Salinas would not let go of it.
But it takes two. He could have contracted with the hospital, he could have had the same kind of contract with the hospital if the hospital were willing.
Well, the hospital would have to take it away from Salinas and from Dr. Salazar. And here's something that I should mention to the court. As to Dr. Salinas, all of this may be moot. I was advised recently by my client that Dr. Salinas turned over a number of properties to him. I tried to contact the bankruptcy lawyer who's handling that aspect of the case. So I tell the court exactly what has happened there. I was not able to do so, but my client told me that Dr. Salinas had turned over some properties to him in satisfaction, so it may be more than trying to figure that out. I'm sorry I couldn't do it before now. I tried, I simply couldn't clear it up. I'm not a bankruptcy lawyer. I don't know very much about that.
Who is in bankruptcy?
Dr. Salinas went into bankruptcy shortly after we got the judgment, and then in the fourth court of appeals, the court, before going to there, we got an order saying that the appeal could proceed. Order from the bankruptcy court.
Was there any evidence at trial on comparable sales of a radiology practice?
No, ma'am. I'll try to answer any questions.
Any other questions? Thank you, counsel.
Thank you so much.
I'll be brief. This will respond to questions that were asked. Justice Gonzalez, if the court would find that there's no such thing as professional goodwill and a voluntary dissolution for partnership, then they would be left with nothing. Because there were...
What about the value of the equipment, the value of the assets of the partnership?
Nothing more. Nothing more than the $2,500. That is the only testimony about the value of the
What about the $8,000 advance?
The $20,000 advance?
No, wasn't it $20,000 attorney's fees and $8,000 loan?
Yes, and those are not under appeal right now. Those are coming by. But the court did not accept those points, so those are filed. So he's been awarded those.
So we only have the $714,000 times two before this court.
That's exactly right.
Thank you.
One of your points before us is that evidence should not have been submitted on a wrongful dissolution claim.
Yes.
That was properly pled.
It was properly pled.
And there was no summary judgment.
No summary judgment. It was properly pled.
So why was it wrong to the trial court to introduce evidence on that claim?
Because we believe that the evidence clearly showed that there was no wrongful dissolution, that as
but
a
you
matter,
don't know that until you go through the trial.
I understand that. When the issue was raised at trial, we believe that the issue was shown that there was done by express will. That's what all the evidence was. There was no controversy evidence, and therefore we believe that evidence should not have been made at that point. When the initial objection was made, hey, you shouldn't put in this evidence about wrongful expulsion. It shouldn't be allowed in because it taints, number one, and number two, the evidence is it was pursuant to the law. And so we believe that there was a lot of petty things that we believe inflamed the jury that got them to give this award. Come back to your point, Justice Owen. Number one, there is the hospital had the right to contract with Dr. Rafati as well as, or in lieu of, Salinas Salazar. Further, the employees had the right to go to either group. They were not bound. There is no evidence that anyone stopped doing business with Dr. Rafati because of this. Justice Heck, perhaps the most significant point which you raised was the damage model is not affected by whatever people or hospitals went with these people. The damage model they used would be exactly the same if the two doctors quit the business.
Multiple of past earnings.
Exactly. That's exactly what it was. They used 3.5 years of past earnings. And so it was not affected by it all, and so it doesn't make any sense to use that. The bottom line is that there was no evidence of any kind to support any finding of $1,000,004 as his third share. There's no basis whatsoever. At most, he should have been awarded $2,500.
Is this case moot?
No.
What is it? Can you enlighten enlighten us about this bankruptcy situation? Dr. Salinas took bankruptcy, apparently, and the court, and the bankruptcy court allowed the appeal to continue?
Yes, he's doing some. When you first
bring this asset that has been paid, I mean, it's satisfied the judgment, why is that not moved?
It's not moved as a settlement order. We want settlement order to continue. With my understanding, Salazar is still fully in it. He did not take bankruptcy.
And it's individual judgment of Salazar.
Yes, exactly.
But it may be moot as a Salinas.
It may be moot as a Salinas. We will investigate. It may be moot as a Salinas, but it is not moot as a Salazar.
Well, wouldn't the extent of the bankruptcy be affected by any decision in this case?
It is an 11. I need to check that. It is an 11. It's a plan of adjustment, so reorganization in these things, but it's definitely not moved as to Dr. Salazar.
And he's not judgment proof.
He is definitely not judgment proof. Thank you very much.
Mr. Coach, the office of this case will take a short recess.
All rise.